Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a Master of Arts in Communications to advance careers in media, PR, and journalism. Fuller part-time options, 518-454-5143. From Northeast Public Radio, this is the Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
So the Media Project is underway with an opportunity for you to get, we hope, a half hour of commentary, analysis, and if you're lucky, even some insight into the media issues of the week. Rosemary Armeo is here, investigative journalist.
Hello.
Howdy do. Rosemary is a professor of journalism at the University of Albany, and Dr. Alan Shartok, CEO of Northeast Public Radio, columnist, commentator, et cetera, et cetera.
You're looking very dapper today, Rex.
Thank you, sir.
I don't know why. Have you got something going on? Do you have to visit with your bosses?
I have to do a little TV show later, so, you know, I try to look
good. Oh, you do TV?
I try to look a little better for television than I do to come here. I'm sorry.
You do TV? Tell us what kind of TV you do.
No, we're doing a special program. The Times Union does programs in collaboration with Siena Research Institute, and we're doing something at WMHT that is going to explore how people are coping financially 7 years after the Great Recession.
Oh, yes, of course.
So anyway, we're doing our little part. It's really unusual nowadays. You can't be just a newspaper. You can't just, of course, have ink on crushed trees. We've got to have the digital, and we've got to have television. And so around the country, you'll find a lot more of this is going on. And oddly enough, in newspapers, at some papers, people are being hired not just, of course, for their ability to write and report, but also can they show up on television and do their jobs.
Yeah, and you look like you've lost some weight for this appearance. Did you actually...
Should I just leave you two alone?
No, I don't think so. Thank you.
Did you actually go on a diet for this appearance?
No. Okay.
Usually they say that television, the great omnipresent, they say that television puts an extra 10 pounds on you.
Speaking of television, here is a reader from Granville, New York. Rich says, greetings. I'm a bit perplexed at the continued usage of some antiquated terminology concerning the recording of digital video. Often I see words like film and videotape in news stories, which are referring to mobile phone recorded video. There is no film, videotape, or footage involved. Why is our lexicon evolving more slowly than our technology?
It always does. We still say penny for your thoughts. Who uses pennies anymore? We still say dial a number when it's, you know, who dials anymore?
Yeah.
Change the channel when it's just press the button.
How about I'm going to play that record?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Cablegate, remember that? WikiLeaks was Cablegate. And who's used cables in decades now?
And what's Gate had to do with it?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
Well, it all comes from the Watergate.
Right.
It all started
exactly.
With Watergate.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's
everything did.
That's what made
yes,
it.
The lexicon definitely lags behind.
Well, Rex, I have something
there
I want to...
There is no term. There is no verb that works with that. You talk about, we'll get some tape. There is no digital. Let's get some... Digital
let's get
images.
Let's
of
get
that.
Some digital.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
funny.
So we do need a new term. Yeah,
I'm not so sure.
No, you're not.
You know, as a 73-year-old, I have to say that I'm comfortable with the old lexicon, and I
well,
think we ought to stay with it.
By golly.
I think we ought to stay
good
with it.
For you.
Gosh darn.
Okay.
But I have something to bring to the table here today, may I?
Would you, please, sir?
The New York Post, POST, I try never to say that word because
out there.
I find it so despicable, has a story this morning in which, to put it mildly, Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York City, the Big Apple, decided to blow his cork about the way in which he had been covered by the said tabloid, the POST.
Uh-huh.
And he got up there and he showed examples of all the terrible things they had said about him. Okay, I say this all the time because in my role as a professor, as somebody that people come to, that's wrong. You just can't do it. You cannot win with a tabloid that sells 700,000 editions every day or somewhere around there to people. They want you to blow up at them because it gives them more and it gives you less. Am I wrong?
I think going after a media outlet that is treating you unfairly is a great temptation for a politician, but it usually doesn't work out too well because they'll come back at you. If you're the Post and you don't have an ethical basis to do what you're doing.
Right. I would say that again. You don't have an ethical basis to do what you're doing.
I think that's true. You're going to do whatever you like, notwithstanding. Harder question would be, you know, Al Sharpton at the same time attacked the New York Times for a story about his tax problems. Apparently, he's a $4.5 million behind in current federal and state taxes, that is, he has tax liens against him. He hasn't met payroll taxes and so on. And so the Times pointed all this out, and Sharpton goes on the attack and says that it's all misleading and totally out of context. And then he says, well, the politics of it is very interesting. I don't know what he means by the politics.
Well, you know, Rex, every time somebody gets into trouble, it's always, it was out of context. It was out of context. Well, anybody says anything, what are you going to do? Publish, the entire thing? You publish parts of it, and you think those are the important ones. So out of context is always one that amuses me. Rosemary, I see you're ready to say something.
Yeah, I read these stories about de Blasio and Sharpton and also about Bill Cosby right now, who's under attack. And I think it is an interesting question about the politics and timing of campaigns or articles against you. Why is Bill Cosby in trouble now over alleged acts of decades ago? And Al Sharpton is in the news right now. And may I add, he's a media figure as well as a political figure.
And has made himself that.
Well, the media has helped him to do that, which
no, but he has injected himself into the public discourse. And that, of course, is what the Supreme Court has had to say about all of this in the famous New York Times case, right?
Yes. And his point, though, is valid to me that Ferguson is happening. We're about to have a grand jury report on that. He is going to have something to say about it. So the New York Times is talking about how he maybe isn't the person who we should be listening to because he owes taxes. I think there's something to what he's saying.
You think that the Times undertook this reporting in order to discredit him?
Yes.
See, I read the whole thing, and I think that the Times, as usual, did a pretty good job on the article. They did give, I thought, a fair perspective on both sides. And I don't think they were going after Sharpton for no reason at all, other than that fact that Sharpton, it now appears, has inordinate influence on all the politicians in the New York State. I'm assuming because they think, and not only New York State, the President of the United States. So I think everybody's assuming that he has a huge following. He ran for United States Senate one time, and he got a huge number of votes, particularly in the black community. So I think people are very worried about the kind of influence, political influence he can have. And I think, therefore, he becomes good fodder for the Times. Were you falling asleep there, Rex?
No. I think it's fair to report about what his finances are. He's a man, as you say, with extraordinary influence. I don't see any extraordinary timing about this, and I certainly don't think that it's related to Ferguson. There are plenty of people who are going to talk about Ferguson.
His point is that the money owed is from the past. He's paying back and has, in fact, a tax payment plan, repayment plan from pre-2006, and that current taxes are up to date, and so why is it coming out now? And I wonder about it, too. I understand. I don't think there's anything wrong with reporting about the tax situation of a public figure. I have no problem with that. But the timing is of interest to me.
But there'll always be timing, won't there? I mean, people, look, this is a guy who, when the famous, most people won't remember this, Tawana Brawley case happened. He was disgraceful in his accusations, you know, at the time. And look, Rosemary, each of us in life have to pay our taxes. I have to pay my taxes. I'm not happy about it. But every year I pay my taxes. And I think if you're a leader and if you profess to be a leader, you can't just walk away from that obligation, even if you say I'm paying them back.
Okay, you can't construe anything I said as a defense of not paying taxes. You cannot,
well,
Alan. That's not true.
Well, actually,
we're talking about why this story came out. And journalists ethically do consider, what's my motivation for this story? What was it with Al Sharpton? And it might be the idea the Times is reporting current federal and state tax liens. That's different than pre-2006. But Sharpton needs to be paid attention to.
It is current liens based on those old taxes. However. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
See, mm-hmm. So it's his point that this is old stuff. He does have a point. And Sharpton, yes, I remember Tawana Brawley. That was ridiculous. And he was ridiculed then. But look at what he has done since. He is a remarkably influential man with power in the city in New York and nationally through his connections with the president and in the media and in politics. He's a pop figure Of course we should be listening to him.
Well, you know, you brought up the name of Bill Cosby not that long ago in this program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're looking back a long, long way with Bill Cosby. You know what
but
I mean?
Isn't that because a lawsuit has now been filed by more than 10 women?
It's old. It was settled like years ago.
Right. Now a new woman has stepped forward, however, but, saying these concerns were not raised. And the fact that it was inadequately handled by a prior generation of journalists doesn't mean that it shouldn't be now, right?
Well, but you can't have it both ways.
What's that?
The Rosemary position is you can't do this because this is old news about Sharpton, but you can do it with Cosby.
No, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the timing.
Sounded that way.
Okay, let me clarify then. The timing of both of these
like
kinds of stories
needs
to be crystal clear in the public eye. Conservatives are now saying that it's liberals who are going after Bill Cosby because he's been outspoken as saying black men need to pull up their pants and mm-hmm. clean up their language and take responsibility. And that is not a position that liberals like. This is the criticism. And so we have found a way to attack Bill Cosby, and that's what we're doing. We have to have an answer to that. We need to say, no, we're reporting this story now because. And I haven't heard that reason yet.
By the way, on an ancillary point, but obscure, but I thought I'd raise it, which is that one of the things that they're holding against Cosby is that a former lawsuit was settled a long time ago.
Right.
And one of the things that happens when insurance companies represent your paper or WAMC or the rest of it, is somebody files a spurious claim sometime. And the lawyer says from the insurance company, we can make this go away for $15,000 as opposed to having to defend it. It's absurd. We have to defend it and we'll spend $100,000. You don't get to make that decision. The insurance company gets to make that decision. But you have to walk around with the fact, as Cosby does, that all these years people are saying, well, they settled a lawsuit back in the day.
The implication there, though, is a lawsuit, one plaintiff. And in fact, there were 15 women willing.
No,
That's why the media is bringing up that old
news. But I'm talking about this other thing. I said it was an ancillary subject,
okay,
you know,
right.
Which is that I'm sure that if Rex's lawyers at the Times Union come to him and say, you know, this is a bogus thing, but you know what? Who needs it? We'll make it go away. The insurance company will make it go away for $15,000 as opposed to the insurance company spending $100,000 on it. But then the newspaper has to walk around with that black eye forever. I don't like it.
Or it's worth noting that we often run into a reporting wall when there is a lawsuit settlement that requires the parties not discuss what went on. And so when there's a lawsuit involving public officials that we're trying to deal with and people say, well, I can't talk about that, you have to find a source who will discuss it with
you. I think the truth is that no one is as difficult to interview as journalists. They want to see the questions in advance. They want to know what the slant of the article is. They know all the tricks. It's horrible to get information about journalists. And we might look at the different ways that de Blasio and Bill Cosby are treating media attacks, what they see as media attacks. De Blasio is holding up the newspaper and critiquing story by story what it's done wrong. Bill Cosby is sitting silent in front of NPR's microphones. Yeah. I'm not sure that either method is effective.
And it's international, by the way. On the way in this very morning, as we speak, I was listening to the BBC. It was like 3:30 in the morning, and they did a whole story, the BBC now, on Cosby. And they played that interview in which he doesn't answer the question. When he said, and he couldn't have been nicer to him. He said, well, you know, many people in this country love you, Mr. Cosby. And he said, so they really want to know, get into this thing. And I'm paraphrasing, and just silence. And then he says on the air, I know that you're not saying anything. You know, he had to say something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It seems like a really bad strategy on the part of somebody to sit silent in front of a radio microphone.
Or even to show up in the first place.
Well, if you're not going to be able to answer questions.
You don't think you know what you're going to be asked?
Right. Absolutely.
Well, and then there's de Blasio, who goes point by point, every story the Post ever did, all the mistakes in it. And I read it, and I just read it a few minutes ago in front of you, and I was saying, whiny, whiny, whiny. He doesn't come off well either.
Well,
it's so unfair, the power of the press.
You know, Rosemary, there are a lot of people listening to this program right now who have been subjected to what they consider to be unfair stories in the press. I certainly have. A rival newspaper, a minor leaguer who wants to stand on my shoulders, that kind of thing. But you got to suck it in. What are your choices?
Yeah.
What are your choices? That's what I tell everybody. The moment you do it, here it is, 700,000 people, 600,000 of whom have no idea what this is all about, are now reading what de Blasio is saying in his defense.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
So there are news outlets that try to do things well and get it wrong, which I think may be the case sometimes in what people consider to be unfair, or people may think that fair coverage is only coverage that makes them look good.
I think that myself.
Do you? Yeah. That's good. Or maybe that there is an implicit or actually an explicit bias, which is the case with Fox News, which was funded with the notion of presenting a conservative take on the news. That is, it is the only network that actually said our goal is to present biased news.
No, they say fair and balanced.
They say fair and balanced, but their charter is to give a different perspective on the news from what everybody else is.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. But what bothers me about them the most is the hypocrisy. Anybody gets a divorce that's worth noting, and we read it up and down and in and out, and we see old girlfriends, old boyfriends, everything like this. Rupert Murdoch gets divorced, and we don't see anything. So what's that? He owns the newspaper, so we don't see anything? That's
owner's
wrong.
Owner's prerogative. Don't you know about that?
Yeah, exactly, and I see your tongue planted firmly in your cheek.
So we come to the name Jonathan Gruber, which we have come to know in recent weeks. The MIT professor, the advisor to President Obama in creating the Affordable Care Act, who in 2013 was giving a talk about how Obamacare was put together, and he said some really outrageous things. Making it clear that there were efforts to, let's say, conceal how things would work, that there was packaging. The bill was written in a tortured way to make sure the Congressional Budget Office didn't consider the mandate to be a tax, which became the Supreme Court's turning issue. So here's the thing that's
interesting. So he turns on Obama, right? He turns on Obama.
Well, I think he's just explaining from behind the scenes what's going on.
Well, explaining from behind the scenes. Now, wait a second. I want to know a little bit more about...
I don't think he turned on Obama. I think he was explaining stuff.
I want to know a little bit more about who exactly this Gruber person was. And I think... If you examine it, there was some relationship with Mitt Romney, remember him, who founded Obamacare before it was Obamacare. It was MittCare in Massachusetts. I think I'm right about that. And also Rex and Rosemary, some people, you know, every once in a while, they had a love affair and they said, let's get some attention. Let's talk about my love affair from 40 years ago. Or let's talk about the fact that I had to do with this and I'd like to be in the papers again. And it's a powerful...
I liked his position better, I'd be saying, wow, the guy's a whistleblower. He wants to reveal something from the past, regardless of whether he worked for Mitt Romney or not. He's an MIT professor who was selected Obama to work on this.
What, you think there aren't bad people at MIT?
No, I think those are his credentials, though, that he knows the field and Obama picked him. And now he's saying that Obama played, basically, the American voters and the politicians. Yeah. So he does have a newsworthy stand to wear.
It is a legitimate story.
However, how the story has played, and this will not decrease your suspicion, Alan.
No. If you look at how many times Jonathan Gruber's mentioned on the air, we're using an analysis.
Is
it PolitiFact? Okay, funded by the Tampa Bay Times. Fox News has mentioned the name Jonathan Gruber 779 times.
Amazing.
MSNBC, 79. That would be 10 to 1. That's the quick calculation.
MSNBC, for those people listening, is generally regarded as more to the left.
CNN, even fewer times.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of when we started getting a couple of phone calls from readers saying, we need to know, this is about 6 years ago, we need to know all the czars in the Obama administration. And we didn't even know what that meant. The czars in the Obama administration. It turned out that Fox News was doing a series on how Obama was allegedly taking into the White House a lot of decision-making that used to be in the cabinet. Not a valid criticism, by the way.
Right.
But they were using the word czar. And you will find certain stories that are only on Fox News.
Yeah.
Now, is this a bias or is this actually just...
It's a bias.
I'm not defending Fox News either, as I didn't defend non-taxpayers. However, they say fair and balanced, meaning theirs is an antidote. It's a tempering of what you get from MSNBC and even from CNN.
No.
So they would say,
wrong.
You have to come and hear the other side of the story from us.
Well, but that's wrong. Well, I'm so sorry. But when you say something is fair, it should be fair. And if it's not fair, we've talked about this many times, you know, the editors who say, I want both sides. And then the story is the Holocaust. What's the other side on the Holocaust? Was there a Holocaust? Right. There wasn't there. It's ridiculous. You know, there was a Holocaust and there's not another side, you know, on this. When you try to defend them, which you are doing, Rosemary, to my great consternation.
I'm just trying to have us look at the big picture.
No, but you're shilling. It's not like you're shilling for them.
No, I'm not shilling for them. I do not think that liberals have to be unthinking in their support of certain issues.
Or but when they say fair, the word fair has a definite connotation. It means fair. Look, Rex's paper has never been accused that I know it. Well, it has been, but it has never been accused
of being unfair.
Legitimately of being unfair. You try very hard to give the balance that these guys are talking about.
Well,
they're not
fair.
Balanced. It's ridiculous.
Well,
I'm so sorry, Rosemary. I take strong exception to what you've said.
But that I agree with Fox.
With who, Rex?
Both. I think Rosemary is right to say that this is a legitimate story. Yeah. I think Alan is right in making his observation that Fox News is not fair, which point I think Rosemary would agree with.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, I think what Jonathan Gruber says about what's been going on, what lay behind some of the Obamacare decisions is sadly true, that voters do actually need to be misled, or you do need to sort of conceal or package things because we have such an ignorant electorate.
No politician has ever done that, said that before.
Right, of course not.
Franklin Roosevelt, as we headed towards World War II, as he was building the planes and doing this and that, you know.
Right. Oh, no, no boys are going to go fight in
That's right.
So, right. 1940 presidential campaign, his toughest one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually really very good journalism. When I'm working in Eastern Europe, we press journalists there to go look at the original legislation, look at the intent, what went into that law. And that's exactly what's happening 2 years after Obamacare was passed, I grant you, but at least it's being done.
But I like the human side of the story. In other words, I love the idea that here's a schnook out there. He wants a little publicity. This is a good way to get it. You guys are always sort of talking about the journalism issues, but you're not. Huh. But you're not talking
media
about
project. Is that the point?
No, that's right. But I'm saying that entering into all of that comes human needs. Who blew the whistle? In the case of Elliot Spitzer, the prostitute starts writing books and running for political office based on I seen my opportunities and I took them. So I mean, give me a break, will you please?
She was, by the way. She was not involved. The one who's running for office, in fact, there's no indication that she had anything to do with Elliot Spitzer, but she claims that she did. That she's a professional, let's say, in her field.
The distinction, the distinction eludes me.
Yeah, well, it's just that she's trying to capitalize on it.
Well, that's the point. You see, there's my point.
The Media Project from Northeast Public Radio. If you want to have a voice in this, our email is media@wamc.org. I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union. I forgot to introduce myself. I might have been interrupted by Alan when I was trying to do so.
No, he's been on fire today. What happened to him?
And Alan Shartok. He's usually such an unassuming, quiet fellow.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Listen, here's something great. Podcast. You know, I was saying how we all have to, in our fields, get into different forms of media. The fastest podcast to reach 5 million downloads and streams in iTunes history is something called Serial. It's produced in collaboration
Kellogg's.
With Ira.
Let me guess.
Kellogg's. No, not that kind of Serial. S-E-R-I-A-L. That kind of Serial. It's produced in collaboration at WBEZ Chicago in collaboration with This American Life by Ira Glass, which airs on most of these public radio stations.
Indeed.
Serial is long-form journalism in audio version that is actually exploring an old homicide, a 20-plus-year-old homicide, with day-by-day accounting of a reporter, and it has a real personal perspective. It really brings the reporter's perspective into it. It's a really interesting
thing. You like that? I mean, we're running out of time here, but Rex, do you tell your reporters there are rules that they have to, if they work for the Times Union, your wonderful paper, do they have to adhere to certain rules of journalism, or are they off the hook to do whatever they want on a podcast?
No, they're not off the hook. We do encourage more personal involvement of reporters, more voice in stories than we ever would have accepted 20 years ago.
But do you ever say, no, this is inappropriate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sure. That's my job. I'm the inappropriate meter. We're out of time, right?
This is a fast program. I didn't have enough to say, though.
No, we really cut you off.
Yeah. You gang up on me as usual.
The shrinking violet, Dr. Shartok. The ever wonderful Rosemary Armeo, and I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union. Thanks for joining us on The Media Project.
They
know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime and gore. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, read all about it. It's a mess meets the test.